We are gathered here today to pay our respects in loving memory of Gladys Joan Priest. My name is Tim Davis, and I am Gladys's son-in-law. And on behalf of the family, we want to thank you for your prayers and for your presence here today to encourage and to comfort us, and thank you for being with us today. After the service, you're invited to a reception back at the Hospitality Inn, and that's after we return from the cemetery. You have a bulletin, and there's a few responsive readings that we'll be doing in the service, and so I invite you to be ready to follow along on that little insert that you have there. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you that we can gather together. We gather together in sadness and sorrow and loss, but we also gather together with thanksgiving in our hearts, thanksgiving to you for all of your blessings, for all of the ways that you worked in Gladys's life and worked in our lives through her. We thank you, Father, that she is at peace now, that she is free from her suffering, and that she has received the salvation of her soul as you promised to her and that she hoped in all through her life. And so we thank you, we commit ourselves to your care and to your keeping. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. So let's this call to worship before us. God is with us. God's love unites us. God's purpose steadies us. God's Spirit comforts us. Come then, people of faith, let us worship our God who loves us in life, in death, and in life beyond death. And together let's pray. O God, compassionate beyond our understanding and loving beyond our believing, the one who knew us when we were within our mother's womb, touch our hearts with your enduring love and bring us relief from our sorrow, that we may discern your love for us and for your beloved child, Gladys Joan Klein Priest. Let the whole world see and know that we have been made new again through the power of your love. Amen. Now, this is a service that Gladys put together, the prayers and the readings and the hymns, and we'll sing that first hymn that she has picked for the service, O Love That Will Not Let Me Go. Invite everyone to stand. The family can remain seated as we sing this together. Gladys Joan Priest was born Gladys Joan Klein, with a C, on January 3rd, 1925 in Zelma, Saskatchewan, to Richard and Carolyn Klein. One of her lifelong passions was teaching. From 1942 to 1956, she taught in Saskatchewan, in Ontario, in Alberta, and then was a substitute teacher for 1 year here in British Columbia. She also taught special ed for a year in Port Alberni as well. At times, she also taught adults to read and sons-in-law when it was okay to eat a mid-meal snack alone in the kitchen, which I found out was never. She married another lifelong passion, Percy Priest, on August 12, 1950 in Kingston, Ontario. And together they had 5 children, Donna, Jean, Bill, Steve, and Susan, and eventually sons and daughters-in-law, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren. Gladys was very active in her church, the United Church. In 1941, she was a Sunday school teacher, an organist in 1944 and in 1947, and over the years, a pianist in care homes, church treasurer, and chairperson, and coordinator for an annual bazaar. Her hobbies included music, knitting, needlepoint, crocheting, sewing garments of every description, from bathing suits to a 4-piece tailored suit, whatever the family's needs were. She said that if she could live her life over again, she would recognize fatigue as a very real illness and have a greater knowledge and thereby understanding that depression is a very subtle destructive force within the human body. Of pets, she said she loved horses and dogs, but never made a pet of any. She listed her favorite things as music, watching the clouds, the big prairie sky, a sunset, and children of all ages. And she wanted her family to remember her for trying to be a good mother, finding the promise of goodness in each individual, and that each mistake can become a learning experience. A message she wanted to leave for the family and for friends was a verse taken from a poem by Edna Jacques. It says, "Take time to laugh and sing and play, to really cherish and enjoy a little girl with bouncing curls and the small wonder of a boy. They ask so little when they're small, just love and tenderness, that's all." She also wrote, "In my latter years, I had a deep need to remain in the home which Percy and I built because his creative objects of many descriptions surrounded me. Oft times I would find myself humming My Happiness, the song which filled my mind after the farewell parting we had. I had totally given myself in love to the young man who had stolen my heart." Through her life, though her life had times of many trials, difficulties, and storms, last Saturday it ended peacefully with as quiet and significant a passing as anyone could hope to have. Let's sing another hymn that Gladys has chosen, "In the Bulb." And we'll remain seated for it. I'm going to invite my son-in-law, Matt Sampson, that is Gladys's granddaughter, Alyssa's husband, to come and read the scriptures that Gladys picked for us today.
Our first passage is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. "The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Then from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 to 8, "There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." From Psalm 121, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He will watch over you. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither sleep nor slumber. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forever." Psalm 139, verse 1 to 10. "O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You have perceived my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before me, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit, and where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast." And from John chapter 14, verse 1 to 4, and verse 6 and 7. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and you have seen me." This is the word of the Lord.
This week, I've been thinking back to a little meeting that I had with, I believe his name was Terry White, on the deck, the back deck at Patterson Place, when we were planning Percy's funeral. And Gladys had stepped away from that meeting for a little bit to do who knows what that needed to be done in the house. And while we were sitting waiting for her to return, Terry turned to me and he said, "You know," he says, "not everyone at the church is a Gladys fan, but I am." And as a pastor, I understood what he was saying, because church, like family, is a place with lots of different people and different kinds of people, lots of different thoughts, and they don't always gel without the effort of love. And as I, not only this week, but I've thought of that conversation many times over the years, I am happy to profess today that I am a Gladys fan. First of all, because she gave birth to the best and most special person in my life, my wife Susan. And we, from the outset, when we got engaged and then got married, decided that we weren't going to tell mother-in-law jokes and father-in-law jokes, that we were going to put our best foot forward and enjoy each other's families, and we've done that, and that has been a blessing. Now, that's easy talk when you live 3,000 miles away, of course, but even in the 15 years since we've moved back here to the island, Susan moved back to the island, I moved here, that it's been marvelous to get to spend so much time with her and enjoy Christmases with her. But second of all, I'm also a Gladys fan because she is part of a generation that simply had to get it done, whatever it was. Tom Brokaw calls Gladys's generation the greatest generation, and he does so aptly. Gladys's generation survived without a social safety net. They fought enemies whose defeat was not a foregone conclusion, and they lived in a time when weakness was not something to be expressed in the hope of finding support or remedy from many of the people around you. Gladys lived when life was hard and lonely, a time when all you had was family and faith, and no choice but to keep going. And I mention faith because of the other notes that she left behind in her book and in the story of her life, which is 129 pages written out. She wanted everyone to know that she had a strong faith, a personal faith, a relationship with Jesus. She had a strong faith and belief in the Holy Spirit, and she said that hindsight is 20/20. As she looked back, she recalled being thrice called by a voice as a preschooler. She had three identical dreams which laid out her early development as a teacher. And then she writes about the angel chorus which accompanied her born-again experience. Now, this is news to me. All the times that she was in my house, she never told me about an angel chorus. You would think you would share that with your pastor son-in-law. But when I read that, and as I read these other things, I saw and remembered that she did have a personal faith. She did have a personal experience with God through Jesus Christ. And because of that, I can't help but be a fan of Gladys for her personal trust and faith in Jesus, especially now that we have 20/20 hindsight looking back on her life. And we do so now with eyes that have tears, but even as the days move on, and as we all get older and enter into more of the stages and experiences of life that Gladys went through, we can see the way that God was working and shaping in her life. Even after Percy died, husband, companion, chauffeur, handyman, everything she didn't just crawl up and stop living, but she lived. And to find out that when she was home alone, those times when it was so hard for us to drop her off after a visit and drive away and wonder about how empty that house was, that she would have a song with happiness in its title come to her mind. How could we not be a fan of hers? You know, today the trials and troubles of life have not changed, and the storms of our existence have not lessened in their severity. However, in spite of the presence of a social safety net, universal Medicare, the self-help movement, and society's openness to discuss and embrace any brokenness with a there, and a poor you backed up by a human rights tribunal, so many today never accomplish what Gladys and her generation did without help other than faith in Jesus to keep them going. And sure, looking back in 2020 hindsight, we can also see many things that could have been done differently or not done at all. Things that could have been said and some things that should have been left unsaid. Still though, I'm a fan of Gladys because like her, I would rather be under construction in Jesus than broken down in life, trying to do it on my own. And seeing her in that light can let us all want to be more like her in faith in Jesus and to thank God for her. And we do thank God for her. Now another hymn. We have an anchor, keeps the soul. Again, let's stand. We'll let the family stay seated. I believe there's 5 verses. Now let's pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And then as a blessing, as go heading out, let's take our inserts. I'll read the light print and you please respond with what is in bold. On our hearts and in our homes, in our coming and our going, in our life and our believing, at our end, a new beginning. Amen. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.